Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 43. Going to address the issue of sobriety this evening. What does it mean to be sober-minded? The need for sober-mindedness. From Genesis 37 onwards, we have the life story of Joseph after having a number of dreams, shares his dreams with his brothers. His brothers don't care too much for the essence of the dreams. They sell him into slavery. Joseph is shipped to Egypt, and some 20 years of refining takes place in the life of Joseph, and Joseph is now second in charge within the Egyptian Empire. And during a time of famine, people hear that there is food, there is grain in Egypt. And amongst those that seek to buy food are Joseph's brothers. So God in his providence does a work in the life of Joseph, and he continues to do a work of grace in the life of his brothers. And that's where we're up to at the moment, here in Genesis chapter 43. Let's read verses 15 to 17. Genesis chapter 43, verses 15 to 17. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, our guide this evening. Lord, teach us, encourage us, we pray, from your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask, amen. Jacob allows Benjamin to go to Egypt with his brothers to buy food. And we have that there in verse number 13. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And also Jacob submits to the will of God. The will of God be done. That's the essence of verse number 14. He said, "If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." And before he makes that statement, he said to his sons, "God Almighty, give you mercy before the man." The start of verse number 14. So we see that the father has a change of heart. He becomes spiritual. He chooses to be spiritual, and he hands over Benjamin, and he gives his blessing, and in essence, he shares with his own children, God's will be done. God's will be done. So upon arriving in Egypt for the second time, Joseph, in seeing Benjamin, the Bible teaches us, instructs the ruler of his house to bring them to his home for lunch. And that's the essence of verses 16 and 17. So at the end of verse number 17, we are told the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And as we move on into verse number 18, the Bible reads, "And the men were afraid." The brothers of Joseph were afraid. They were in uncharted waters. They were out of their depth. If there was a time when sobriety was needful, it was now. You can imagine how they felt. They're back in Egypt, and they're immediately escorted into the governor's house. So it's natural they were afraid. They were afraid. And we see here in verse number 18, the first principle I'd like to stress concerning sobriety, and that is the want or the need for sobriety today. The need for sobriety today. See, Joseph's brothers were out of their depth. They were afraid, and rightfully so. And there is a great need for sobriety in our day. Now, by sobriety, we mean to be sober-minded. To be sober-minded, to be disciplined in our thinking. That's what it means to be sober-minded. That's what sobriety is all about. There is such a need for it today. An author of a very good little book on the disciplined life, it's called. If you can get a hold of that book, I would recommend that you do. Otherwise, come to Bible College and we'll have you read it. The Disciplined Life by Richard Taylor. And one of his initial statements concerning discipline is, the world belongs to the disciplined. The world belongs to the disciplined. And it really does. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, the Bible talks about bringing our body into subjection. If we're to bring our physical body into subjection, we need to bring our minds into subjection. So it's all connected, is it not? Sobriety, to lead, to control our thoughts into correct thinking. There is such a need for such today. And this is what the brothers needed. For they found themselves in Joseph's house. They don't know it's Joseph. Remember that. Don't lose sight of that. This is just a governor. This is the second in charge in the whole Egyptian empire. A very powerful man. And to them, they are nothing. They are dust before this great man. And they find themselves escorted into Joseph's house. They were afraid. To be sober-minded means that I have my thoughts under control. As a way of illustration, a person that is drunk with alcohol is under the control of that alcohol. The alcohol within that person will affect their speech, will affect their actions. In the same way, if we are not sober-minded, we can be controlled by wrong influences that will have a detrimental effect upon our lives. There is such a need for sobriety today. And if there was a time that sobriety was needed, it was needed here by these men that stood in the governor's house. See, the Bible teaches us that we can choose to think biblically. It is so needful. Note there in 1 Peter chapter 1, please, for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. Choosing to think biblically is so needful today. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, because from time to time you and I find ourselves in situations like Joseph's brothers. We're out of our depth. Have you ever been out of your depth? You're just dog paddling for your life, knowing that the bottom is nowhere in sight and not achievable. You know what I'm talking about, out of your depth. That's where these men were at. Note here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up, or take control of, tighten up the loins, the belt of your mind, Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So note that little phrase there, gird up, tighten up the loins of your mind. Be sober and have hope. So disciplined thinking leads to soberness of mind and it leads to hope. See? So if there's a lack of sobriety, lack of sober-mindedness, then there will not be that hope. And go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Philippians 4, 8 tells us that it is possible to think biblically. Note here in Philippians 4, 8, it reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So it is possible for you and I to think biblically. The want for sobriety today is great. And I'd like to remind you this evening that the Word of God tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. Take control of your thoughts. Often we make the excuse, "Well, Pastor, I can't help it. I can't help thinking this way." That is not true. That is not true. Because if that was true, the Bible's not true. Because my Bible tells me that I am to think on these things. And when I'm not thinking biblically, then I'm thinking in a way that I ought not to be thinking. And that's why the Bible teaches us that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We need sobriety in our minds. Otherwise, it will have a detrimental effect upon our lives, our homes, our churches, every area of life. Joseph's brothers needed sobriety. They found themselves in the governor's house and they were afraid. And note their lack of sobriety. Here in verse number 18, go back to Genesis chapter 43, verse number 18. See, when there is a lack of sobriety in our minds, it will be like dead weights. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 12 that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Note here in verse number 18, let's note the lack of sobriety in Joseph's brothers while they were standing in Joseph's house. And you and I, as God's people, when we find ourselves out of our comfort zone, or like these men, they were afraid. Often fear triggers, is a trigger to a lack of sobriety. Mark my words. If there's fear, that can be the very trigger that will have a negative effect upon our minds. And that's what happens here with Joseph's brothers. Let's note the lack of sobriety within verse number 18. Look at the verse carefully. It reads, "The men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house." And note this, "And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in? The brothers jump to conclusions, to a conclusion that was not true. They said to one another, it's because of that money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we here in the governor's house? Question, did anybody say that to them? Where do they get that from? Lack of sobriety. The fear triggered a lack of sobriety. And they jumped to a conclusion that was not true. And to be sober-minded means that you and I will meditate and focus upon that which is true. Where do we find truth? In the Word of God. And it's during those times when you and I find ourselves out of our comfort zone, maybe afraid, that you and I need to be sober-minded and we need to meditate upon that which is true and be careful of jumping to a conclusion that is not true. As they stood in the governor's house, they said to one another, we are here because of that money from our first trip. That wasn't true. That wasn't true. The Lord Jesus said, my word is truth. John 17:17. And beloved, for you and I to maintain sobriety of mind, we need to choose to meditate upon truth. And be careful lest we come to conclusions that are not provable, they are not true. In our counseling course, we talk about four stabilizing truths that every Christian needs to commit to heart. One of those stabilizing truths is that God's love for me is unchanging. He loves us with an everlasting love. That is true, Jeremiah 31:3. Another stabilizing truth is that God's purpose for you and I is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. That is true based upon Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Another stabilizing truth is God's Word is the final authority. The Word of God is our final authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Tells us that Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And last but not least, another stabilizing truth is that God's grace is sufficient for me. Whatever God allows into my life, God will enable the grace to endure. 2 Corinthians 12:9. See, what the brethren here entertained in their minds was not true. It wasn't provable. They chose to believe something that was not true, and this led to a lack of sobriety. Beloved, you and I as God's people, we are called upon to be sober-minded. And it's during those times of testing, those times of difficulties, those times that we might feel even afraid, that you and I need to meditate upon that which is true and be careful of jumping to conclusions that are not true. Not only did they jump to conclusions that were not true, look at verse number 18 once again. What else did they say? Verse 18 goes on to read, and they said, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us. Not only did the brethren here jump to a conclusion that was not true, and that's a lack of sobriety, they also entertained in their minds a negative thought. And that is that he's seeking an opportunity to condemn us. That's why we're here. He is seeking an opportunity to condemn us. Lack of sobriety. There was no justification for this negative thinking. It was all whipped up in their fear, by their fear. And beloved, you and I as God's people, we need to choose to think biblically. We need to choose to think positively based upon the Word of God and put off those negative thoughts. How easy it is for you and I to think negatively. Talk to me. Pessimist at heart. We find ourselves afraid. We find ourselves in deep waters. We find that things are not going our way. And all of a sudden we are thinking negatively. And we're entertaining thoughts that are not true, that are not provable. So these men said, oh, he has us here because he's seeking an occasion against us to fall upon us. He's seeking opportunity to condemn us. But you and I as God's people need to choose to think positively based upon the authority of the Word of God. We need to meditate upon scriptures like Romans 8, 28, 29. That all things work together for good. God's going to bring some good out of this time in the governor's house. That's sober-mindedness. And what about 1 Corinthians 10:13? There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He's going to provide a way of escape. God's going to get us out of here. That's how they should have spoken to one another. That's how they should have thought. But they failed to exercise sobriety. They entertained negative thoughts. They entertained things that were not true. And beloved, for you and I as God's people, be careful of a lack of sobriety, especially in times that you and I feel afraid, we're out of our comfort zone, things are not going our way. Be careful of coming to untrue conclusions, focusing upon negative thoughts. But also note there at the end of verse number 18, these men were in bad shape. They also went on to say in verse number 18 that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses as well. They entertained in their minds, hey, he's got an evil agenda. He's got an agenda. He has us here because he's going to take us as slaves. He's going to make us slaves. Yes, he is. And he's going to take our animals, and they're going to be slaves as well. See? They entertained in their minds an evil agenda. They questioned the motives of the governor. The governor has an evil agenda. He's out to destroy our lives. He has us here because of that money. He's trying to set us up to condemn us. He's going to make us slaves. We'll never get to go back to our father. Lack of sobriety. Once again, was it provable? Has anybody said to them of the possibility of becoming a slave in Egypt? No. It's all in their minds. Beloved, it's a dangerous place to be when you and I are questioning everybody's motives. Yes, people are selfish. That includes you and me. It's a lack of sobriety to dwell there. Especially when there is no basis. What about God's motives, which we know are true? Like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, please. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. First Peter 1, 7, the Bible reads that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What about God's motives? What about God's will? What about the providence of God in your life, in my life? See, there was a lack of sobriety within the hearts of these men. They focused upon that which was not true. they focused upon the negative, and they were convinced that there is an evil agenda at hand, that the governor's motives are not pure. A lack of sobriety was evident in the life of these men. And if we go back to Genesis chapter 43, I'd like for us to note the way to sobriety. So we see the weight of sobriety. There is a want for sobriety. We need sobriety. The weight of sobriety, it leads to believing, meditating upon that which is not true, that which is negative, and we get to a point where we question motives. We say to ourselves, oh, they've got an evil agenda. You know, that pastor's out to kill me. Yeah, really? I'm convinced. Tells me to obey God, love God, serve God, go soul winning, be in church, he's out to kill me. Be in church whenever the doors are open. Tithe, give your missions offering. Love my wife, love my children. Memorize scripture. That pastor's trying to kill me. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But when there is lack of sobriety, you will entertain such thoughts. Talk to me. Talk to me. True. The way to sobriety. Look at verse number 19. How did these men get out of this mess? In mind, they were a mess. Look at verse number 19. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. The way to sobriety. We see here in verse number 19 that they spoke to the steward of Joseph's house about the situation. Look at verses 20 to 22. And said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks. And behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, and our money in full weight. And we have brought it again in our hand. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. So the brothers conversed with the steward of Joseph's house. They shared their heart with the steward. This is what's happened. This is how we feel. See, God wants you to commune with him. God wants you to converse with him. We need to converse with our God by drawing nigh to him. Draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible teaches us that through the blood of Jesus, we can draw nigh to God. And just like these men had to talk some sense into themselves, they opened up their heart and they shared what was on their heart. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. They spoke to the steward of Joseph's house. And beloved, when you and I find ourselves, when we are not thinking soberly, we are lacking sobriety, we are focusing upon that which is negative, that which is not true, that which is questionable, you and I need to talk to the Lord. Note the word in them, verse number 19, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him. They shared their heart with the steward in Joseph's house. Then note then, verse number 23, the response. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. So the brethren here speak to the steward of Joseph's house. The steward responds. He responded to them. And he said to them, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I have your money. And by the way, here is Simeon. So they open up their heart. They commune with the steward of the house. He responds and gives them words of comfort. Peace be unto you. Fear not. That money comes from your God. God has provided you that money. And the application I want to make is simply this. As they poured out their heart to the steward of the household, that the steward spoke back to them and gave them words of hope. As we commune with our God, God communes with us through his eternal word. God will provide hope and guidance through the word of God. God will provide peace. God will remedy our fears. God will answer our questions in and through his precious word. So these men were led out of a lack of sobriety by sharing their hearts with the steward of the household. And the steward of the household responded by sharing with them words of hope, words of assurance. And the spiritual application for you and I is that you and I need to share our hearts. We need to cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. Oh, we spend so much time worrying and thinking negatively and meditating upon that which is not true. And questioning motives. But if we would just spend that time talking to the Lord, we'd be a lot better off. And then allowing God to speak to us through his precious word. See, it's during times of testings that we need to be meditating on God's word. Because God's word is true. See? God speaks through his word. And if there's a time that you and I need to be in the book and we need to be in communion with God, it's during those times of difficulties. When we're afraid. Because that fear can trigger a lack of sobriety. We can come to conclusions that are not true. We can focus upon that which is negative. And we can question motives. The way to sobriety, they shared their heart. As a pastor, often I'll have people say to me, Pastor, it was just good to get that off my chest and share it with somebody. And you've probably had that experience where somebody has been burdened in some way and they've had confidence in you and they've opened up their heart to you and they've shared their heart with you. And at the end of it all, they've said to you to the effect, oh, it's just good to just get it off my chest. And beloved, you and I as God's people, there's a lot that we bear that we need to get off our chest and give it to the Lord. That's why 1 Peter 5:7 is in the Bible. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And that's what these men did. They shared their heart. They said, look, this is what's happened. Oh, sir, this is what's happened. And he responded by saying, peace be unto you. Fear not, God's giving you that money. By the way, I've got your money. Here's Simeon. And then we read in verses 24 and 25. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender or food, and they made ready the present against Joseph. Against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. So the way to sobriety is simply this, beloved. You and I need to talk to the Lord. And then allow God to talk to us through His precious word. And then we just need to keep moving with the guidance and comfort that God has given us through His word. See, the steward of the household said to these men, "Peace be unto you, fear not." So the brethren here could regroup and prepare themselves to meet the governor once again. And beloved, we need to keep moving with the guidance and comfort God gives to us through His precious word. In sharing their hearts and the response that they had, they continued to fulfill that mission. Why were they there? They were here in Egypt once again because they wanted to settle this account. They needed some more food. And they wanted to prove to the governor that they were genuine people. So they were able to get back on track because they had a sobriety of mind. They came to that sobriety of mind because they shared their heart. And the steward of the household gave them some comfort. And that motivated them, and they held on to that, and they once again pulled themselves together and prepared themselves to meet the governor of the household. So Joseph's brothers were led to sobriety that prepares them to meet and dine with the governor. What an opportunity. What a responsibility. See, without sobriety, they would have been of little value before the governor. So likewise, we will be of little eternal usefulness without sobriety. It's a lack of sobriety today. It's so lacking today, sober-mindedness. How do we maintain sobriety? We need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to meditate upon that which is true and choose to believe that which is true. See, their minds were telling them, we're here because of that money. We're here because He's setting us up to condemn us. We're here because He's going to make slaves out of us. All of the above was not true. They shared their heart. The steward of the household said, "Fear not. Peace be to you. God gave you the money. I've got your money. Here's Simeon." So with that hope, they regroup and they prepare themselves to meet the governor of the household. And that's our next sermon. But until then, beloved, there is a great need for sobriety today. And be careful of letting your mind go. Gird up the loins of your mind. Philippians 4:8, think on these things. And we can maintain sobriety by spending time with the Lord and allowing God to speak to us through His precious word. And when God provides that hope, that assurance, get back to work, because a lack of sobriety equals idleness. Amen, Pastor. Thank you, Brother Kevin. A lack of sobriety equals idleness. When you and I lack sobriety, it stifles. It stifles you. It keeps you from doing what you're meant to be doing. But when they shared their heart with the steward and the steward gave them words of comfort, they regrouped and they prepared themselves to meet the governor once again. Back to work. Yes, that's why we're here. We're here to meet the governor. We're here to prove to the governor that we are the real McCoy. We're not spies. We're here to pay back that money that was found in our sacks. And we're here to collect Simeon and go home and live happily ever after. Let's get back on track. That all took place because there was sobriety. And when there's lack of sobriety in your life and my life, it's stifling, it's crippling. It is. You know it is. May God help us to spend time in the book. This will keep us sober-minded. And to take responsibility for our thinking. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's bow for prayer.